12 seconds. And a bad play up high. Palat didn't send it in deep. 10 seconds to go. McCarr fittingly battling for the puck in the corner. 5 seconds to go. Up it comes to the line. Colorado has won the Stanley Cup.
Sunday night in Tampa, the Colorado Avalanche win the Stanley Cup in 6 games over the Tampa Bay Lightning, knocking off the Lightning's quest for a three-peat. The NHL ratings this year were up. ESPN, ABC were back, and our guest had a front-row seat. It is Sean McDonough. Sean, congratulations on a fantastic season. Welcome back to Sharp and Betting in the Morning in Omaha.
Thanks, guys. Great to be with you. And thanks. The NHL season was a lot of fun. And grueling, but fun. I'm amazed by what those guys do, the players. We're wiped out just standing there talking about it every other day for 2 months. But, those guys are out there playing and knocking each other around. And yesterday I saw a tweet with a long list of injuries that the Tampa Bay Lightning players were playing through. Some guys with separated shoulders and torn meniscuses and broken bones. And, they're out there playing every other day. So, have great appreciation for the players and what they go through in the playoffs, for sure.
I almost feel guilty asking you the question as you try to recharge. I was going to joke about being able to get back out on the golf course and swing it and work on your game, but now I feel a little bit guilty after the labors of love that the NHL guys are going through.
Yeah, those guys, some of them won't be playing golf for a while. It's funny. I got home at midnight here in Boston 2 nights ago. And I think that's about 34 hours, and I think I've slept for about 25 of them. We were on the road from May 2nd. I came out for a couple of days because I wound up getting COVID in early May, mid-May. But since May 14th or 15th, I was on the road. I slept 2 nights in my own bed from May 14th until when I got home 2 nights ago. So it's a grind, but it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's an absolute blast. And as Gary was saying, it's a big success story for the league, for ESPN with the ratings this year. It's exciting to know how many people got caught up in the NHL this season.
So you've gotten to call the World Series on CBS and now the Stanley Cup Final on ABC. But you had called hockey before. There's a 17-year hiatus in there between the last time that you called hockey. How did you get back into the mix of the, and I've called hockey before, not on the NHL level, but I know it can be you almost feel exhausted when you're done calling a game, but how did you get back up to speed after that long time off?
Well, the reason we had the hiatus is obviously it left ESPN. We had the hockey until 2004, and then it went to NBC, and they had it for a long time, did an excellent job with it. A lot of us, who love hockey, myself and Steve Levy, John Buchegross, Linda Cohn, a lot of people behind the scenes at ESPN were hoping all those years they would come back, but we never knew if it would. And then last spring, it came out that ESPN had the rights back to do the NHL along with Turner. We're basically splitting it with Turner for the next 7 years. We have the Stanley Cup for 4 years, and they have it for three, the Stanley Cup Final. And as soon as I heard it, I said, I'm not going to waste any time. I texted Jimmy Pitaro, who's the head of ESPN, just said, congrats on getting the NHL back, straight for the company. And I'd love to be involved with it at the highest level I possibly can be. So he texted me back, said, that's good to know. I'm going to hand this off to Norby Williamson, who's one of the vice presidents who's ultimately going to make the decision about talent assignments. And, chatted with Norby and Mark Gross and Mike McQuaid, who were all involved in the decision. And after a little bit, they said, yep, this is your opportunity if you want it. And I really wanted it. I grew up loving hockey here in Boston. I idolized Bobby Orr. Did a lot of hockey starting out. And, the chance to do the Stanley Cup Final is amazing. I went to the Stanley Cup Final Game 7 in 2019 as a fan here in Boston when they played the St. Louis Blues, and was sitting there, soaking in the incredible atmosphere with my friends. I've been to a million sporting events in my life. And I just said to my buddies who I was sitting with, wouldn't it be great if, someday I could be sitting right over there where Mike Emmerich is sitting, as I was looking across at him, not thinking that 3 years later I would actually have that chance.
It's interesting. We go back and forth. Everybody here loves hockey. Shane happens to be an Avs fan, unfortunately, and Sharpie and I are both Pens guys. We would go through these segments every year. We would do Hockey is Great at 8, and We're pretty passionate about it. And you do so many – talented enough to do so many sports. Where would you put postseason hockey in terms of its level and being riveting and excitement versus some other things that you've done?
Oh, it's right there at the top of the list. I mean, there's the old adage around hockey. There's nothing better than the Stanley Cup playoffs. And yeah, I think that's true. And that was really driven home for me, as I said, in 2019, sitting in the TD Garden. I've been in that building a million times. And just, you know, the atmosphere was electric. And it, you know, never waned throughout the game. A lot of times sporting events start and the game settles in a little bit and the crowd kind of calms down. And, you know, at playoff hockey, people are on their edge of their seat for the entire game. And, you know, it's for 2 months, which is, as I said before, the most remarkable thing that they can maintain that intensity level. But, you know, every building we went into in these playoffs, New York, Pittsburgh, Carolina, we were mostly in the East, Tampa, you know, and then obviously we wound up with Colorado in the championship, in the Stanley Cup final. Every one of those buildings was on fire, not literally, thankfully, but, you know, it's as good as anything that I've ever been around. And, you know, I'm kind of bummed we don't have the Stanley Cup final next year. We wish our friends at Turner well and look forward to having it back in 2024. We will go all the way through the playoffs up to a conference final, but we won't have the Stanley Cup final. But all the playoffs are awesome.
Sean McDonough joining us here on Sharp and Betting in the Morning. Speaking of atmospheres, we didn't get a chance to talk after you were here in the fall. What were your thoughts being back in Memorial Stadium for the Michigan game last October?
Oh, it's the best. I love going there, as you guys know. You know, I have a lot of friends there. And, you know, when people ask me, what are your favorite places in college football to do a game, you know, Lincoln's always at the top of the list. Fans are great. The history, the tradition, you know, the way we get treated by the people in the athletic department there. You know, obviously you guys know I'm a longtime friend of Coach Frost and Matt Davison and a lot of other people around there who I enjoy seeing. So, you know, it's great. And I hope this is the year where it comes back up toward where it's where people hope and expect it will be. You know, I do think Mark Whipple was a great hire. I talked to Frosty when that was happening. You know, because we did a bunch of pit games this past year, and you know, I've dealt with Whip a lot over the years, and I think he's terrific and will make a difference. And you know, I'm excited for them for this coming season. But I always love going there anytime. I get the call, hey, your game next Saturday is in Lincoln. It's always a happy day.
Hey, can you feel it? Because I can just tell you from personal experience and when your name comes up, just beloved in the state, right? What we do these polls about, you know, versatility and broadcasters and voices. And, I mean, it's Sean McDonough. And you can just you just know that there's this reverence for what you do. Do you feel that when you come back?
Well, that's very nice of you to say, Damon. And I do feel it. And, you know, I don't know if part of that is because I've spent so much time there. I mean, I did the College World Series. I don't know how many times. A lot of people know in our business know exactly how many times they've done everything they've ever done. I know I was there for at least 10 or 12 years and always loved it. And I loved, you know, spending time there. When you're there for 10 days or whatever it is. So you get out into the community and, you know, go to the restaurants, meet a lot of people, and the people there are so nice, you know, and I've made so many friends who I still have and I look forward to seeing whenever I come there. Sometimes they'll come to Boston or Arizona and visit us. So I appreciate that a lot. I really do. And maybe it's because, as I said, I've spent a lot of time there. I think people know, you know, I've said not just locally, but on national TV when I've done the College World Series or Sun games in Lincoln, how great the places are and the people are. And I mean that sincerely. I look forward to every trip that I am able to get out there. And I've come back, you know, to not work, to go visit friends or play in member guest golf tournaments at some of those places in Nebraska. So always a treat when I get there.
Were you surprised as you're kind of looking back at this series? And, you know, it was two very talented teams, Colorado, obviously deeper and much more talented, but three of those were decided by one goal or less and two down the stretch. Did that seem like a 4-2 series to you? Or did you look at that and think, if I'm Tampa Bay, given the circumstances, that's about as good as we've got against a team that's that talented?
Yeah, a little bit of both, actually, if that's even possible. You know, it certainly felt the first two games that, although the first one was in overtime, but that 7-0 game two, when you really saw the speed of Colorado, you thought, oh, my goodness, that's just too much for Tampa Bay to keep up with. And then, you know, John Cooper had a reasonable explanation. He said, you know, the altitude really caught up with them in the second game. When you first get there and your body hasn't really acclimated yet, mm-hmm. you're okay. But then they had been there for a few more days, and you know, they really looked slow and sluggish in game two. And I agree with them. I didn't check with any of our physiology people that that's even – a real theory, but it sounded plausible, and Cooper's a really smart guy, so I think he's exactly right. So, and then the games, they were very close. You know, I agree with you. I thought the whole time Colorado had the better team. I actually picked the Lightning before the season started, before the series started, because, you know, to me, they're the champs until you knock them off, and I thought they had a really big advantage in the goal. You know, Andrei Vasilevsky's the best goalie in the world, or one or two with Igor Shesterkin now. Darcy Kemper's kind of the journeyman veteran who they hoped was good enough to win the Stanley Cup and thought he was when they traded for him. But, you know, he had to prove it, and he had a few shaky moments. But he also had a couple of games where he really rose to the occasion, including the last one. So, I think the series played out just about the way it probably should have. And I think if Tampa Bay hadn't been so beaten up, you know, you give them Braden Point and, a healthy Cirelli and McDonough and some of the other guys who were really hurting in that series who had played through it, then maybe it would have been closer. But then again, you know, Colorado didn't have Burakovsky for most of the series. Sam Girard didn't play at all in the series. You know, they had their injuries too. The better team won. It's a very long way of saying that the better team won.
I got to ask you, because you're right there. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. The Cassidy move was a little bit of a surprise in Boston. I think maybe it had ran its course. They needed a new voice. That's Vegas's new – that's their treasure, right? And that appears to be a good hire. But were you surprised that Sweeney, like, gets the auto, hey, come on back to Boston? Or how did you kind of sift through that?
I was a little surprised, you know, living here and being a little closer to it than I would be some of these other situations. You know, I think Bruce did a fantastic job here. I don't think anybody could argue that. I mean, he stepped into a situation that wasn't very good, had him in the playoffs all 6 years, came very close to winning the Stanley Cup, obviously getting to a game seven. Yeah, we had a graphic on during the Stanley Cup finals. The Tampa Bay and Colorado in regular season wins, I think it's the last 4 years, were 1-3 in wins in the regular season, and number two was Boston, who just fired their coach. So, and I was particularly surprised because Cam Neely had hinted at it in his press conference at the end of the year that they were considering a coaching change. But then a couple of weeks went by, so you thought, okay, you know, they're not going to get rid of Bruce. And then they did. So I'm kind of happy for him. You know, I think sometimes coaches have a shelf life. You know, the scuttlebutt around here was that he was pretty hard on the players, that maybe some of them had tired of that. And maybe even Patrice Bergeron wasn't going to come back and would have retired if Bruce had still been the coach. So, and I think he wound up in a great situation. I mean, you said who has a chance to be a better team here in the next couple of years, Las Vegas, the Vegas Golden Knights, or the Boston Bruins? I would say that Vegas does.
Yeah.
You know, they barely missed the playoffs. They had a lot of problems last year that could be corrected, and I think they're going to be good. I think they'll be back in the playoffs this coming year. So I think he got the best job of the six or seven that were available in terms of talent that he's inheriting, and you know, the Bruins will search for a new coach. I hope they hire David Quinn, who was the coach of the Rangers and coached here at Boston University. I think he's a tremendous coach and a great guy, and he apparently is a very serious candidate, although, you know, I don't know why it hasn't happened by now, but just felt like they needed a change, I guess. Don Sweeney did, but pretty impressive resume Cassidy had to send him out the door, and there's no surprise that someone else gobbled him up within a week.
You've had a long and successful career, and you've gotten to do a little bit of everything. Can you ever recall in your business an off-season where there have been so many musical, you know, the musical chairs and people are changing networks in your business like we had this past off-season?
I hadn't really thought about it. You know, I think everybody was sort of surprised. I wasn't as – I don't know if you're referring specifically to, like, Joe Buck and Troy Eastman, but the – I wasn't that surprised about Troy because there had been some scuttlebutt that, you know, he might want to go somewhere else. You know, I think the financial thing, I think once Tony Romo got paid, whatever, $18 million,
yeah,
right? And then
wow.
Everybody else who does that at a high level, like Troy thinks, well, if he's worth $18 million, I'm worth whatever. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of the great things in business. I guess a rising tide really does lift all ships, or at least lift some of them. So I wasn't surprised when he came. I was a little bit surprised when Joe Buck followed him, only because, you know, Joe, I think, had two of the next three Super Bowls coming up. There were still, you know, at Fox, there were still World Series, obviously. But, you know, I think he was ready for change, too. And you know, I'm excited for the two of them. I think they will enjoy doing Monday Night Football. I feel sorry for Steve Levy and Lewis Riddick and Brian Griese, who ultimately went back to coaching, mm-hmm. went to coaching, because I thought they did a really solid job. And, you know, but that's the nature of how this works, and I've experienced that myself. So, you know, Joe and Troy are terrific. I know they'll do a great job. I know they're both really happy to be there. I actually spent some time with Joe in St. Louis when we had a hockey game there late in the regular season. He's a great guy. They're a great team. And, you know, and hopefully, to the important part of your question for the rest of us, what they got paid trickles down to everybody else. Joe, either you are going to have helped all of us, or you took all the money and there won't be anything left for anybody else. We'll see how that plays out. Yeah. But I'm happy for both of them and for ESPN.
Well, did you peg the streaming services being such players? Like, did you guys talk about that amongst your elite group? Like, wow, I wonder what's going to happen with, and then fill in the blank.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, you know, you were kind of wondering, you know, where's Al Michaels going to wind up? You know, who would, if he went to that Amazon package, who would get the analyst job next to him? It turned out to be Kirk Herbstreit, obviously, who'll do a great job as he always does. Yeah, you know, I never think of those things because I'm so far behind the curve, I guess, when it comes to progress. And you know, if you said find an Amazon game on wherever you're supposed to find it, I don't know that I could. So I'm going to have to figure out where those games actually are and how I access them. And it'll probably take somebody explaining that to me when the time comes. But, you know, a lot of times when these things happen, almost all the time, I always think, well, it's good for people in our business, right? It creates more jobs, and that's a good thing. So I wish them all well, but it was a lot to keep track of, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Well, fantastic year being back behind the mic, high above the ice, with your color analyst being down between the glass, which can't be easy, but enjoyed it, Sean. We hope to see you back here in Lincoln sometime in the fall calling a Nebraska game. And as always, as Damon was alluding to,
one of the best in the business.
You got a lot of fans in this state. Now, maybe one of these days, when you have a little downtime from the hockey, they'll sneak into town to do a College World Series game.
I'd love to get back there. I think the last time I did it was the last year it was in Rosenblatt, so it's obviously been a while. And I've only seen the new stadium driving by it or on TV. But I would love to do that. It's a great event. Our college football director, Scott Johnson, still directs the College World Series, and he and I were texting the other day about, as usual, what a great time he had in Omaha.
Well, that's fantastic. Sean, thanks for your time, as always.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Sean.
It's Sean McDonough.
Right there!
As you know, he was alluding to, he's good friends with Scott and Matt and loves Nebraska. Just wrapped up his first year as ABC ESPN's lead announcer. And the ratings were really, really good this year for the NHL. I think the NHL is in a good spot. It's, you know, the TV ratings.
I wonder what he felt about, like, Herbstreit doing, like, those Thursday night NFL games. Because he's done both college and NFL.
That was the one that I was surprised by.
And that's going to be because Herbstreit also will get on the back end. Doesn't he get one Monday night game for ESPN? Like the one that. And that transition from the way you approach the pro game to the college game, I mean, his schedule is going to be, I mean, Thursday, travel to game. He's going to continue to do game day and then to do the game that night. But with Sean's case, you know, the ratings were up. The NHL is in a good spot. TV ratings, which sometimes we don't know how to, you know, process. We're radio guys talking about TV ratings. Doesn't it seem that TV ratings are up? Like, we're back to watching live sports now.
I'm inclined to agree.
We, like, during COVID, when we got our sports back and we were still kind of at home, we watched all that stuff, but the ratings weren't like we thought they were going to be.
I agree.
But look at, like, the College World Series and softball. Baseball drew, for their championship games, 1.59 million viewers. Softball drew 1.58. The College World Series Championship Series was the most watched in 4 years. And you would think, okay, the whole College World Series was really well viewed, but the games weren't close. Mm-hmm. You look at the Championship Series, you're like, Ole Miss and Oklahoma were playing? I do think the Sunday afternoon game was mammoth.
Thirsty.
For college baseball.
We're thirsty.
They made the schedule change. Because the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday would be like, oh. I mean, think about it. The old schedule, if we were going to three games, we'd be playing tonight.
Mm.
So the new schedule was great. But
it's really a great deal.
It's, you know, I think both sides will look at softball and baseball and go, okay, the game is growing. The softball number is impressive. Really, really impressive. I mean, softball in this country on television, when it comes to what's going on in Oklahoma City, is on, it's, the trajectory is going up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where they have been to where they are now, to be that close to college baseball, maybe people are, the storylines and the way the game moves and the way it's presented.
I kind of hope so. I mean, listen, we're four sports. It's much better if people watch. And it's just more engaging that way.
And it adds to volleyball coaches that wonder, are we in the right time of the year? Are we playing in the right time of the year when we are straight up against college football and the NFL? But college football is a behemoth when it comes to watching college sports. And, you know, those coaches have such a great product, they don't want to take a back seat, but they understand where they're at. That's why the John Cooks of the world wonder, gosh, could we play in the spring to get the kind of television coverage that they get now? But their television coverage is going to continue to grow, but the softball numbers are pretty impressive. All right. Brandon Vogel is going to join us here in a little bit. We'll rapid fire him. Maybe he knows how many snaps under center Nebraska football has taken in the last 4 years.
Give him like 3 minutes. I bet he could figure it out.
I could go to Pro Football Reference, but could I go to College Football Reference and find that?
Yeah.
I'm
going to go ahead and doubt it. But what do I know? It's been proven.
Well, we know it's not much because people that are chiming in can name off specific cases when Nebraska was under center in the last 4 years.
I don't know why you get our guys started. You know they'll go all in.
Well, because I think in the first game, Nebraska will be under center more than they've been in 4 years, which is pretty wild to think.
Yeah, you may be right.
All right.
I'll take it.
Sharp and Betting in the Morning at 1620 The Zone.